We've been talking about being filled, living life on full, living life on full. We're not talking about getting to the place somehow, some way that you're never weary, you're never tired. Oh, children, I'm sorry. Kids need to go upstairs. All the kids can head upstairs. All right. There you go. There you go. Yeah. And try to sneak up there with the phone. To me, you get to the place where you don't battle things, that you don't go through things, and that you don't get weary or tired. Now, living life on full is a promise that God has given us, that we can live life full of His Spirit, full of His presence, full of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we're a three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. In our physical man, I mean, I'd love to be able to teach you and show you the Word of God that you can get to the point where you're not ever weary, you're not ever willing fighting the battle, that you feel like giving up. But that's just not the way it is. Because Paul even said this, who wrote most of what we read in the New Testament. Paul said that when he was weak, so he didn't say he got to the point where he was never weak. He said, when I'm weak, then I am what? Strong. How? By God's grace, by God's Spirit in our life. And so living life on full is not a promise to where you're always going to be on the mountaintop. But no, even when you're in the valley, you can tap in. It's kind of like there's three parts of our life, three parts of our being: spirit, soul, and body. You can live life out of your physical man. You can always be just giving into its appetites, its desires. You can live life even out of your soulish realm, your mind, your will, and your emotions. But both of those, your battery, your tank will drain. Or you can live life out of your spirit. And the battery, the infilling of the Spirit on the inside of you, the Bible says, is like a river of life springing up on the inside of you. And it says the promise is that you'll never thirst again. So it's kind of like whatever you want to live life, if you want to live it in your own strength, in your own willpower, then you'll get weary, you'll get tired, you'll want to give up, you want to give in. And those two parts of your being will still get weary and tired. But there's a way to tap into the presence and the power and the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And even when we are weary, even when all hell's coming out against us, and our physical man and even our soul is tired, the Bible says that at that point we can be strong. That we can be walking in His strength. It says, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. It's frustrating when you've been created and designed by God in His image and likeness to live at a lower level than that. It's frustrating to live at a level that you were not created and designed by God to live. You weren't created and designed by God to live by your strength, your natural strength. You weren't created by God and designed to live out of your natural willpower. Those things were created and designed by God to be used by your spirit, connected with your spirit, which is full of the Spirit of God. Jesus is our example. We're going to look at that this morning. You know, I started asking the Holy Spirit, I started asking God, that's like Pastor Tony said, asking and it'll be open to you. I mean, seek and you'll find, knocking will be open to you. And I started asking God for some direction, and I wanted to find some materials. I wanted to begin to do some research. And I said, who can I read after? Whose book can I read? Who can I study? Whose life can I study? And the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, study Jesus. And I said, no, no, no. I mean, this is exactly what I said. I said, no, 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 no. I want to find someone just like me, a human just like me. Two or three times he said, no, 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 study the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus. I said, no, I want to find somebody that, like Benny Hinn or somebody that's written a book, somebody that's got this anointing. I said, and the Holy Spirit kept saying, no, study Jesus. And I said, but Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. I kept saying, I need someone like me. He said, you forgot who you're called to be. It's frustrating for us to live less than what God has created us to live like. Now, understand something. For so many years, and I believe this is the way God is, because we're like kids. We're like children. We got to grow up. For so many years, when I talk about I'm gonna live in the fullness of God, the blessings of God. I want all that God has to offer for me. All that stuff always equated to natural things. Blessing, prosperity. But as we mature and grow, we find out that the blessings and the prosperity and all those things, that's just a tag along. God doesn't say that he won't do those things in our life. He says if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will just tag along. The blessings and the prosperity and the provision of God, it follows you. As you seek after his kingdom, after you seek after his righteousness, it's frustrating. If you want to live 2019 in a frustrating state, then live out of your own strength. Try to do it on your own willpower. Those two batteries will drain, and then you can recharge them, and they'll drain, and you recharge them. But Jesus said, there's coming one, a promise from the Father, the gift from the Father, the Spirit that will come out of the inside of you like a river of living water springing up. And he says, he who drinks from that river will never thirst again. Didn't say it was a lake, didn't say it was a pond, didn't say it was an ocean, it said it was a river. The other night we was watching something and they were talking about how they turned the river up in Chicago green on St. Patty's Day. And someone said, how much dye or whatever they put in, how much did that take? Because the river's always flowing. How much would that take for it to continue to stay green? I mean, it'd just be like a spot go by you. Right? Well, there goes the green. No, they got to keep dumping it in, right? Because the river is just continuous. And that's the promise of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Let's look at some things here this morning. Amen. Number one, Acts chapter 11, verse 24 says, Barnabas was a good man. It's not just about being good. I believe I'm looking at all kinds of good people here this morning, but it's not just about being good. It says he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Full means to be filled up as opposed to empty, complete, lacking nothing. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says, if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, look at this last part. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. Notice the conduct. The conduit that God is going to work through. He said he will quicken your mortal body. How? Through his Spirit who dwells in you. Through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit's an incredible gift that God's given us. Number one on your handout this morning, we are created to live full of the Holy Spirit. We're created to live full of the Holy Spirit. Number two, in Acts chapter 2, there in verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? This is the first message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He answered, he said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. The word repent means to turn, to change your thinking. It doesn't mean all those things that we've thought. It doesn't mean that you have to cry. It doesn't mean that you have to weep. It doesn't mean you have to shake. It doesn't mean you have to even go to an altar. It means literally that you turn from something and you turn to God. You change. Peter replied, he said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. The word gift there means a gift freely given and hence not acquired by merit or entitlement. A gift freely given and hence not acquired by merit or entitlement. The gift of the Holy Spirit cannot be earned. You cannot earn this promise. You're not entitled to it. That definition in the Greek of the word gift, it's more about the giver versus the receiver. It's more about the heart of the person giving than it is about the person that's receiving. It's more about, in this situation, it's more about the Father and Him promising you the Holy Spirit than it is about the one who's receiving the promise. It's not by merit, it's freely given. And what it is, it's displaying the heart of the giver. There's no attachment to it. There's no qualification to it other than repenting and coming to God, turning from your sins to God. This promise is to everyone. And it cannot be merited. Now, or earned. I'm going to tell you, Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-filled churches, Word churches, we have our religious things just like any other place. We like to talk about how everybody else is so religious and how they have all these different things that they do and all these traditions, but we do the same thing. If I can't earn or merit this gift, then how is something special going to happen if I pray an hour? How is something special going to happen if I pray longer? We've had our little things in the past that we've done that, you know, it's like, you got to pray till you break through. You got to do all these things. And what I see now is they're all things that we've done to try to merit or earn this presence. It's unmerited. It's unmerited when you receive it. It's unmerited when you use it. It's unmerited when you have a relationship with the gift, the Holy Spirit. It's unmerited when He speaks to you every day. It's unmerited when He leads you. It's unmerited when He anoints you. It's unmerited when he gives you strength. It's always unmerited. It's more about the giver than it is about the receiver. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't somehow, some way, begin to do something. Now, I'm not against praying. I'm not against about spending time in prayer. I'm not even against about spending time praying for an hour or more. Jesus did it. But here, if I'm doing it, because I heard someone get up and say, man, if you pray an hour a day, then God shows up. You know what? You can't earn that. God shows up because God's good. And He says, all who call upon my name shall be saved. Can you say amen? Amen? So it's a gift. It's freely given. Number two, did I give you the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as God's gift to us? Number three, Jesus lived life full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus lived life full of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Does the Bible teach us that He's been tempted and tested and tried just like we have? Does it say that we have a high priest that sympathizes with our... Hold on, what does it say? We have a high priest that sympathizes with our what? With our weaknesses. We have a high priest, Jesus is our high priest, and he sympathizes, he identifies with our weaknesses. Your weakness and my weakness. What is your weakness? What is your weakness? I don't know what your weakness is. I know what my weaknesses are. He sympathizes with my weaknesses. He identifies with them. You know why? Because He was tested and tried just like I am. The Bible says, yet without what? Without sin. So here's the thing. If I have a weakness, God doesn't judge me because I have a weakness. Because Jesus has overcome that weakness the same way that I must overcome that weakness. See, for some reason, and I understand something about earning God's presence, earning God's thing, you can't polish yourself up for God. You can't polish yourself to the point where you deserve this unmerited, unearned promise. See, let me explain to you. It's frustrating when we receive God's gift of salvation. Then we start this walk and we fall. And we think that God is frustrated, upset, and angry at us. And so we get up And we promise God, I'll never do that again. I'll never fall again. I promise you, God, I love you more. I will never do it again. And then we fall again. Boom. Why? Because we're weak. So we get up and we say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And then we say, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. And boom, we fall again. So what we're trying to do is we are trying to become strong to please God. And the Bible says that in our weaknesses, the power of Christ will rest upon us. Paul said, when I'm weak, what? I'm strong. So I want you to see something this morning. I want you to see the life of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. Real quick, we're going to look at a couple things here. It says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we see that the Holy Spirit was a part of Jesus being born, being conceived. And the angel answered Mary and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit was there at his birth, his conception. Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you're my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit was there when Jesus was baptized. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. The Holy Spirit was involved in his ministry. It says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. So the Holy Spirit was there at his conception, his birth. He was there when Jesus was baptized. It said he descended above him like a dove upon him. Luke 4, verse 1, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he endured temptations from the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was famished. The Holy Spirit was there when Jesus was tempted. Temptation, his ministry, temptation. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. Verse 17, the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. He said, the scripture you just heard has been fulfilled this very day. The Holy Spirit was there at his birth, his baptism, his temptation, his ministry. The Holy Spirit was a part of every miracle that Jesus did in the earth. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I believe it is, says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were sick. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The Holy Spirit was also there at the resurrection. Jesus did not do anything in his earthly ministry without the assistance and the help of the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. His ministry was anointed by the Spirit. The miracles that he did was because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He overcame temptation. He overcame temptation because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in his life. And when he was crucified and went to hell first, no grave could hold that body down. But it was the Holy Spirit that brought his physical body back to life when God said it was finished. I'm going to tell you this morning, you're created in the image and likeness of God. You're designed and created in his image. Jesus is our example. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus would not live life. Jesus would not live life on empty. He would live life on full. Full of the Holy Spirit. Now, just like we are, he got tired, he slept. He got weary, he would set time apart. There was times that he spent time just by himself, send his disciples on ahead so that he could rest and be restored. He wept, he cried, his heart was broke. All those things that we experience, he experienced. But he lived life not out of his physical man. He lived life not out of his soulless realm. He lived life out of his spirit. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's frustrating to try to live righteous and holy out of your soulless or your fleshly realm. Because the Bible says that the only way you can do it is to be led by the Spirit. It says if you're led by the Spirit, if you follow the Spirit, if you surrender the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires and the hungers of the natural man. We're created and designed by God to live life on full. Can you say amen? Full of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see something this morning. Number four, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and want. Thirst after righteousness, for they will be want. What? Those who hunger and thirst will be what? Filled. Those who hunger and thirst will be what? Filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. There's a song that we used to sing. I think we've sung it recently. But verse 1 says, as the deer longs for streams of water. This is the psalmist. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Those who hunger and thirst, they're blessed. Why? Because they will be filled. John 7, verse 37 says this. On the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and shouted out, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is what? Thirsty. Now, most of the times, they thought natural as soon as they heard what he was saying. Thirsty. Remember at the well? When he said, give me something to drink. She said, I don't have anything to draw with. And he said, well, if you knew who you're talking to, you'd ask me for something to drink. He said, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. He said, let anyone who's thirsty, let him come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. Just as the scripture says, from within him will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive. For the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, all those who are thirsty, come to me and drink. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And where did he say the Holy Spirit would be? In us. Like a river of life flowing up out of us. You can't earn this gift. You can't earn it. But you must hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. Number four, we cannot earn the gift, but we must hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. And those who hunger and thirst will be what? Filled. Anybody's mom ever say this to you? Don't be eating a bunch of stuff before dinner. Don't be eating no cookies. Don't be snacking before dinner. My mom used to say this. Don't be snacking. You'll ruin your appetite. Don't be snacking. You'll ruin your appetite. Or something like she said, don't be snacking. Don't be snacking because you'll ruin dinner. You won't want to eat dinner. Come on, right? What was the wisdom behind that? She wanted you to eat the dinner. How can I ruin dinner by snacking before dinner? Won't be hungry. Why? Why? Because I'd be what? Full. I asked God, I said, God, how do I hunger and how do I thirst after you? How do I hunger and thirst? Tell me how to hunger and thirst. How do I do it? See, we are so geared to do. am I hungry if I pray an hour? Am I hungry if I worship an hour? See, it's not about us doing that shows us that we're hungry. See, hunger is not something you do. Hunger is something that you just are. Come on, right? In fact, in order to prove that to you today, I think I'm going to preach to about three this afternoon. With all the food back there, we'll have them open that, uncover the thing so it comes out here and we can smell it. And guess what? You're not going to have to do a thing to get hungry. Except be empty. Except be empty. I want to give you a quote. One reason we do not hunger is because we are full. One reason we do not hunger after God is because we're already full. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when Jesus was teaching the parable about the word and the seed, he said that the seed is planted in the heart. We hear the word, and it's planted in our heart. And he talked about the different hearts, the different soil. He's talking about the difference in people. And he said the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so the seeds, they never grow into maturity. See, hunger is not something we do. Hunger is something that we are. And if you want to be hungry, if you want to create that appetite, then what you can do is you can become empty. See, there's so many things that are fighting for your attention. And it is easier now than ever before for us to be distracted. Come on. We went from when I was a kid that if you got up too early on Sunday morning, you watched the pattern. You turn the TV on, and it's, so you turn that down, and you watch that pattern on the screen until Bullwinkle came on. Bullwinkle. You know you was hungry for some cartoons if you got up early and you waited for Bullwinkle to come on. Bullwinkle. And there was three channels. Come on, right? And then if you wanted the other channels, you had to get up there and turn to that one thing, and then you had to spin the dial and bring it in. And then do this. Just can you stand right there during the movie? Yeah. Come on, right? Now, our TV channels go into the thousands. Let me just tell you this. There's absolutely no way possible, probably, for me to even know or watch or benefit from. I mean, there is music channels in the thousands that we could turn it on for music. So how'd you find that out? Just go through them one day. Okay, and you never get that national anthem in the morning and national anthem at night. You never get that because they never go off. If you hunger for sports, there's ESPN, ESPN Classic, ESPN2, ESPN1. Come on. If you're hungry for news, there are so many news channels. And then if you're so busy, they break it down to where you can turn to a news channel and they just give you the highlights. Boom, boom, boom. Come on, right? In fact, you can be in church and you can be hungry and you can go like this. And you'd be like, Facebook, well, what's girl up to? You You're not any farther than what's in your back pocket. For everything that's after your attention to be able to just saturate you. Last night we went to a movie in the fourth quarter of the Kansas City Chiefs game. We did not leave till I felt comfortable enough that they were going to pull it out. But believe me, when I sat down and put my popcorn over here, I went straight to my little page to see that they'd scored again. During the movie, I thought, how's the Rams doing? Come on, right? There are so many things that we can become full with. There's so many things that will pour into our life. There's so many things that will saturate our time. There's so many things that we can spend and invest our time. Come on, right? Here's what is interesting. If you hunger for someone, the way you're satisfied is by spending time with them. If you hunger after what somebody can do, the way you're satisfied is just by benefiting when you have a need. Does that make sense? And there's people in here. Joe does plumbing. Mike does heating and air. Tom does electrical. Dave does all kinds of woodworking and different things. Everything. I heard he does really good at fencing. But he doesn't do it anymore. The last job he ever did was Tom's job. Tom broke him. But if the only time that I ever talked to Tom is, hey, Tom, man, I got an electrical problem at my house. You got that tool? Hey, Dave, piece of wood, this thing, wood thing broke at my house. I know I could go get one of those clamps, but I know you've got them. Because I've seen you use them. Is there any way I can... And then I don't relate with either one of them outside of that until the next time I need something. What am I hungry for? I'm hungry for what they can give me. I'm not hungry for them. Come on, right? We need to be hungry for His presence. We need to be hungry for Him. We're going to find out that the Holy Spirit is a person. When I say person, it's difficult to describe God's Spirit. Using the terminology of person, let's put it this way. The Holy Spirit is distinct. He's a distinct part of the three-part Trinity, the three-part that makes up God, the Godhead. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's distinct. He's different. He's unlike the spirits of the world. He's unlike demonic spirits. Demonic spirits will control you. Demonic spirits will possess you. Demonic spirits will make you do things that you don't want to do. Once you open yourself up to them, they'll make you do things that you don't want to do. The Holy Spirit's not that way. He'll never violate your will. Because, see, the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave you and created you was the ability to choose. God designed you and created you with that. Why would the God who designed you and created you violate that? But Satan will, if you allow. Demonic spirits will, if you allow. Because it's something that he does not have. Something that you have. Luke chapter 4 again, Jesus said that there's things in our life that will crowd out the seed that needs to grow and produce maturity. I want to give you a quote by John Piper. He's written a book called Hunger. He said, the greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It's not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. See, a lot of times we put these big, this is bad, this sin here. Poison. Poison. But then you have somebody that will sit over here and devour their entire day watching something that, not necessarily bad. Not necessarily good. He says, it's not the poison that takes away our appetite for the heaven. It's the constant nibbling, the small things. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said it's the small foxes that what? Spoil the vine. We cannot earn the gift, number four, but we must hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. Can I, David, I don't know, got a few minutes here this morning. Can you come back up? I don't know. Did you talk to the praise team? Is the praise team ready? Come on back up this morning. I want to take just a few moments this morning. Got just a few minutes before noon here. If you want to be hungry, you have to empty yourself. Amen. The greatest example of someone emptying himself, the greatest example I can find is Jesus in the garden. You know, if it's your way, if it's what you want, it's your desire, all those things, that will dull your hunger for God. But in the garden, what did Jesus say? Three times, Jesus sought God. And he said, Father, not my desire, not my what I want, not what I will. I'm emptying myself. I am emptying myself. Your will be done in my life. I tell you what, stand up with us this morning. Amen. There's a song that I've just been playing over and over and over this week in my study time, my prayer time. It's a powerful song. It's called I Surrender. And we know that song, right? Before we leave this morning, Father, I'm not talking about anybody else in this room, just me. In 2019, God, I want to live life on full. I want to live life like Jesus. I want to live life the way you created and designed me to live. And you've said, Father, if I hunger and I thirst, if I hunger and I thirst, that I'll be filled. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are thirsty. He shouted it. He said, everyone who's thirsty, come unto me. Because there's a river that you can drink from that you'll never thirst. It will never run dry. God, sometimes we need to make room. All those things that are crowding you out in our life. Not necessarily wrong, God. But Father, this morning we want to surrender. We want to surrender. And say, not my will, but your will be done. Not my desire, but your desire. Father, I want to empty my life so that I can be full. That's my desire, Father. This morning, I want us to take just a moment. I want to encourage you. There's no better way to live than to be living like Jesus. Take a moment this morning before we leave this place. Have a garden moment with God. Become hungry by emptying and surrendering to Him. Father, we just thank you this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. You guys just stay right there. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but sometimes the things that you think you need to be empty of, you're like, wow, I didn't even, that wasn't even on my radar. A lot of times we think it's those big things. But sometimes it's the small things. It can even be the need and the desire. How can I? The need and the desire to be approved. That can crowd out God in your life. Spend your entire life trying to get approval. Pride can crowd out the things of God. Hurt, unforgiveness. Bitterness. Being a victim. That can crowd out God's grace. See, being a victim so many times, you're resisting help. Remember something we used to do back when a group called Help Fighters would come through? They would say, cup your hands and just visualize putting what you're going to surrender. You just put it there in your hands and then let it go. Whatever it is, that one part we're talking about, just right there. I surrender. Whatever it is. I want to know. Past hurts, past failures, pride, hidden sin. Being a victim. Father, we just thank you this morning, God. And Father, as we empty ourselves, our desire, those things that crowd your spirit out. Father, as we empty ourselves and we say, not our desire, not our will, not our plan, but your plan. God, that hunger, because we're empty. Will be an automatic thing, God, that will hunger and thirst. You designed us, you created us to hunger and thirst and to be satisfied by your presence. Father, I thank you that those that do hunger will be filled. Hallelujah. I tell you, just close your eyes for a moment this morning. Once you've tasted His goodness, once you've tasted and partook in this relationship with God, that He's not some cosmic being so far away that He doesn't know what's going on in your life, but you know that He's your Father. And He loves you and cares about you. Once you've experienced that, I'm telling you, there's nothing better. Until you do, you'll try to fill that emptiness, that void in your life so many other ways. And all of them will be dead ends. Because there's only one thing that can satisfy that longing, that emptiness. And that's a connection and a relationship with the one who created and designed you. This morning, if you're here and you've never experienced that, I'm going to give you an opportunity before we go to accept that incredible gift. No one looking around. If you're here this morning and you say, I've never experienced that, and I want that today before I go, just raise your hand right where you're at this morning. Anybody here today? I want to give you an opportunity before we leave this place, in case there's someone here this morning that does not have that relationship. Amen. Father, I thank you for this time. We're getting ready to leave. God, I thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for your spirit, your grace, and your favor. And God, as we now leave this place, God, I thank you that this building becomes empty. There's no one here, Father God. Your presence isn't here. Your presence lives on the inside of each and every one of us. So, Father, thank you again for this time together today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know that there's Harvest Mill today. I know that, are they planning on Harvest Mill for here too, not just downtown? So there's food for here if you want to stay, fellowship, and have a great meal. It's going to be an incredible meal, handmade by Sharice and Kim, something like that. You're welcome to do so. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. You're dismissed. Be safe on the roads. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you.